Thanks for streaming our podcast. Our SOS Radio team is always experimenting with new things. By financially supporting the music and conversation in our podcast, you're helping it grow.
I use the SOS Radio app when I'm working. I love the fact that there are no ads, there's no pop-ups, and I can listen to Scott Harrell's podcast. I made a $20 gift to help keep the music commercial-free.
You can make a donation to help grow the podcast at sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app.
We all want blessings, right? I'm Scott on SOS Radio. We're going to talk about the forgotten meaning and the practice of blessing with author Tina Bosch. Good morning!
Good morning!
You're an author. You're a self-prescribed nomad. You've lived all over the place, overseas from Italy, Bulgaria, Cyprus, Turkey, and the U.S. So when you really study what blessing's all about, you get a different perspective living all over the world, huh?
Yes, I do.
So you study philosophy over at Wake Forest. You just wrote a book. It's called Given, The Forgotten Meaning and Practice of Blessing. What have you learned about blessings? Because a lot of times I think we think like blessings, if I do something, I get something in return. But that almost sounds more like karma.
Yeah, sounds like a business transaction to me. And I don't think God's blessing ever works that way. Blessing is always gift. You know, I think a lot of times in American culture, we tend to think of blessing as a possession, you know, as something we keep and own. But God's blessing, if we take a look at scripture, it's never a possession. It's a calling. It's a way of relating. It's a way that God relates to us and a way that we're called to relate to one another.
I think it was Robert Morris that said, a curse is when spiritual things are working against you and a blessing is when spiritual things are working for you. Is that what you found to be the case?
I mean, absolutely. I think God's blessing is his way of expressing that he is for us, that he loves us. You know, if you think about the first blessing God speaks to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, he's blessing them with community and family. I mean, he is blessing them with relationship. And then if you think about the blessing God authors in Numbers 6, and he tells the priest to pray it over the people every time they assemble for worship, may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with what? With favor and give you peace. We see that God's face doesn't shine on you unless you're in relationship with him. I mean, if you think about how audacious that blessing was at the foot of Mount Sinai, where only Moses could go into the shining presence of God, it should astound us that God actually commanded the priest to pray that blessing over the people because it anticipates a relationship with God that is face to face. And we don't really see that blessing realized until the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus's disciples see his glory revealed and his face and his garments shine like the sun. I mean, that is a profound blessing to be in relationship with God like that.
Yeah, it's interesting because if you're thinking, I want God's face to shine upon me, then, well, it's his light that's reflecting right out. It's his light that's emanating out, and then it can reflect us off. Then it can reflect off of us, I guess, right?
Exactly. It should shine through us. I mean, that's the thing about God's blessing. We do not receive it to keep it and own it. We receive it so it can flow through us, be reflected in us, out to others.
We're talking with Tina Bosch today at SOS Radio, and about 15 years ago, you and your family moved to Turkey, and while living there, a friend of yours had asked your thoughts on Christian blessing and sort of inspired this book. So you're like, you know what? Blessing isn't a possession. It's more of a calling.
Yeah, actually, that conversation was so interesting. So my sister had just had a baby, and I had a friend who was over, and she didn't know English very well. So she asked me, you know, what is it that Americans say in English to bless a new baby? And I thought about that. I was like, I don't know. I mean, I guess we just say congratulations. And she looked disappointed. And so she pressed a little bit. She said, no, I mean, what do Christians say in English to bless a new baby? And I thought, honestly, we just say congratulations. And she had this sort of bewildered, disappointed look on her face. And she said, you Americans, you say congratulations for everything, but congratulations isn't a blessing. And I really thought about that. And I mean, congratulations is a beautiful sentiment. It means I share your joy. You know, I'm celebrating with you in this moment, but it does not carry us forward into future grace, into a future good that God wants to see realized. in the life of the person we want to bless. And that is what blessing does. Blessing, really, they're prayers with the horizon in view. They express a future good that I want to see realized in the life with the awareness that only God can accomplish it. I mean, in Turkish, the blessing for a baby would be Anile Babalı Büyüsün, which means, roughly translated, may the baby grow up together with his mother and father, which is this incredibly beautiful expression for, you know, the integrity of the family, the long life of the child. It's so compact, but it embodies such a beautiful expression. So, I mean, that conversation sent me back to the Bible, and I wanted to know, are there any blessings in the Bible that I can share with my children, that I can pray over my children, that I can pray with my friends? You know, are there blessings? Is there good expressed here that I can communicate and reflect? And I mean, once I started looking, I found so many. Paul is especially good at praying blessings that are bold, that are powerful, that are specific for the churches that he's relating to.
It's so interesting when you start talking about blessing. People in America generally say, okay, I don't really believe in blessings because I have a poverty mindset. Or they think like, oh, name it and claim it. You just got to claim those promises and God has to perform it for you. I'm Scott on SOS Radio. And neither of those are really the reality of what blessings are when you dig through the Bible. And we're talking to author Tina Bosch today. You just wrote a book all about this. And it's funny because, yeah, you have like this prosperity mindset or you have this poverty mindset, because there are verses in the Bible that do talk about those things, but it's not like all-encompassing, like it's a transaction where because God said this, he has to do this in every single situation because he said it once in the Old Testament, or I just have to embrace poverty because I need to be less and so God is more. And neither of those are really that biblical.
No, not at all. In fact, if we really look at the meaning of blessing in the Bible, we'll find that there is a relational dynamic to God's blessing. God blesses us because he is inviting us into relationship with him. And so we respond in blessing, literally. We bless him and we bless others. His blessing moves through us. It isn't something that we hold on to and possess. And if we look at the way that Jesus teaches about blessing, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, it explodes our notions of like who we're called to bless, because he's even calling us to bless those who curse us, right? Even those who don't agree with us, even those who may persecute us. And that is a hard call, but it is so transformative when we actually enter into that kind of way of relating to others.
You know, Tina, what have you learned about what a peacemaker is when it talks about blessed are the peacemakers? Does that mean somebody who always keeps peace, or is that just somebody that works through towards peace, or is that someone who deals with tough situations with love?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I mean, I think ultimately, if we want to understand what peacemaking really looks like, we look at Christ, who is himself our peace, who gave himself so that we could find peace with God. It's through him, in his cross, in his blood, that we're reconciled with God. He made peace through his cross, Paul says in Colossians and Ephesians. And if we can see that as the symbol of what peacemaking looks like, then we understand that peacemaking in our lives is going to come through self-sacrificial, agape love, living given for the sake of others, allowing God's blessing of peace to flow through us. In Romans, Paul talks about coming to the church in Rome with the Eulogio Christo, which means the blessing of Christ. And there he is for sure talking about this self-sacrificial giving love that reconciles others to God. We find it in the cross and we communicate it when we love self-sacrificially in our relationship with others.
We're talking to Tina Bosch today at SOS Radio. And Jesus says, you know, we're going to pray for those who are persecuted. We're going to love our enemies. And in essence, that is blessing them. Why do you think that blessing isn't a default mode when we're thinking about praying for someone else?
That's such a good question. I think the primary reason is because when we pray, we tend to be really reactive in our prayers. We pray when things are going wrong, when there's trouble. But that's not the model that we see in Paul's prayers and his blessings. It's so interesting to me that some of his most beautiful blessings show up in books of the Bible where he's affirming and commending these churches for their faith. Think, for instance, about Colossians. Like, Paul writes that letter because he wants to affirm the faith for their love and faithfulness. And to that church, he prays, may you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in absolutely every good work. I mean, how often do we pray like that proactively in a way that is future focused, not reactive, but focusing on what will be? I mean, I think in our culture, we tend to be really reactive, but to have an orientation of blessing, we're going to have to be looking forward, outward, and with boldness, embracing the promises of God.
Now, Tina, have you ever had a time in your life when someone's actually given you a blessing that just really hit you at a time where you saw a response?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so many times it's hard to isolate one, but one that comes to mind from my childhood is there was once a Brazilian pastor who was speaking in our church, and my dad was a pastor, and so he stayed with us in our home. And when I was in my teenage years, he prayed a blessing over me, inspired by Isaiah 61. He prayed that I would become an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he would be glorified. And at that time, I really couldn't grasp like the meaning of that blessing. Like, what did it mean to be an oak of righteousness? You know, when I thought about what kind of trees I'd want to be like, I'm thinking, I want to be a fruit-bearing tree, right? I want to bear fruit for the Lord. What does an oak bear? Nothing, right? And so we were living in North Carolina one fall. My kids and I are outside, and we're raking up leaves from this gigantic oak tree that was across the street. And so this tree had dropped all its leaves. We're raking and bagging up leaves. Underneath all those leaves were like thousands of acorns. And all of a sudden, that blessing came back to mind. And I finally grasped that oaks may not be fruit-bearing trees, but they are seed-bearing, and they just shower life all over the neighborhood. In a single oak is the possibility of thousands and thousands of new other trees. And finally, I was able to see that this blessing had to do with me being life-bearing for others. And that became like a profound promise to hold to in my life.
We're talking to Tina Bosch today at SOS Radio, and her new book is called Given, The Forgotten Meaning and Practice of Blessing. Thanks for sharing with us today.
Thanks so much for having me. Can I leave you guys with a blessing?
Absolutely. I would love that.
Okay, here's one from Romans. May the God of hope give you all joy and peace in believing, so that you may overflow with hope.
Thanks for listening to the SOS Radio Podcast with Scott Harreld. If this discussion encouraged you, feel free to share it with your friends on social media.